So when I was asked to talk about something that might have relevance to this project, I was thinking about our work on the relations between values and unethicality. And the reason is because I thought that in terms of the motivational basis for arrogance, I think there is quite some commonality between unethicality and arrogance. So I've chosen to talk about that, but first I have to tell you what values are. So values convey what's important to us in our lives. So you can see them as broad goals, like the goal to have power or the goal to be kind. So you can see that they're really, really broad goals. And so the idea is that they're based on very basic motivations. And this also means that they're general, so they transcend situations. So it's likely that if kindness is important to you when you're at home, it's also important to you when you're with your peers, with your coworkers, and even in the supermarket when somebody, when Rob sees somebody struggling to get something from the top shelf. And it also means that they're so general, it also means that they should be stable across time. So not just across situations, across contexts, but also across time. And like Greg says, this has been actually quite my main line of research in recent years, and I can tell you that the big picture with regard to value stability and change is that they are really quite stable. It's not that they don't change, but they're quite stable. And this means that we can use them really well to predict things and understand, more, I would say more understand than predict, but we can understand really well motivations behind certain inclinations like behaviors or goals because they are really quite stable. So it also means that we can use them now to predict something that will happen even a year from now. Something that's unique to values compared to other related variables like goals and attitudes and personality, something that's unique is that they are socially positive. So there's some idealistic element to them. So killing, for example, is not a value. Killing for, if you think about terrorists, killing could be a goal, it could be a behavior. They might have a positive attitude towards killing. But even terrorists, I don't think, are working they're not motivated by values of killing. The killing may be based on values of power, maybe based on values of security, of tradition, but it will be something that is quite positive and has some ideological component to it. Another thing that's unique to values compared to attitudes and so on is that they're organized as in personal hierarchies. So for one person, independence might be more important than security. For another person, security is more important than independence. And it is this placement in the hierarchy that then predicts how people perceive situations and how they behave. So in other words, values always exist in a system. They don't exist in isolation. So whenever you tackle a situation, more than one value will be relevant. And so it's always a matter of, okay, but what's more important? Is this more important or is this more important? So another thing to say is that values are measured by questionnaires. And the reason that we can measure them by questionnaires is that the idea is that people kind of know what's important to them. And that means that you can ask them pretty directly and you get a valid answer. The value model that I will use today is the one that's been the most prevalent, the most agreed on for quite a few years now, and it's the Schwartz value model. And this model has been established empirically across many, many samples around the world, and it's been found using multidimensional scaling. So when you see the circle, I'm not going to show you the empirical circle. Turns out I don't know how to use the... Okay. When you see the circle, this has been found empirically with multidimensional scaling. So, and what it means that values here in a circle is that every two adjacent values, every neighbor and two neighboring values are based on a similar motivation, so they share a motivation. Empirically, they're positively correlated. And values that emanate from opposite sides of the circle are based on conflicting motivations, and empirically, they're kind of negatively related. So this means that we can talk about them in smaller groups, so not just in the actual 10 values. So when we think about values, what values are there? Values of power and achievement are based on the motivation to enhance myself, even at the expense of others. So they're quite selfish values, and you might enhance yourself either by having successes that mean something in society, or by having power, having a lot of money, and also by having fun. So hedonism can be part of self-enhancement. And these values, this motivation is in conflict with the motivation to transcend one's selfish interest in order to help other people and to promote the welfare of other people and generally of society and even nature. And promoting the welfare of either concrete people close to me in my immediate surrounding or generalized people, people outside my group or nature. And so these two can be seen as a bipolar dimension. The other bipolar dimension, orthogonal dimension, is this one. And the values here, conservation values, are based on the motivation to maintain things as they are. And it could be either in terms of our traditions that have been there before us and will continue to be after us, in terms of conforming, fulfilling other people's expectations, and in terms of maintaining our security, either our personal security or our social security. And these values are based on an opposite motivation to openness to change. And values in this motivation are values that encompass the willingness to have new ideas, new thoughts and self-direction, new things to do, stimulating things to do, and stimulation values. And hedonism values can be also part of openness to change. And this is quite universal. So even though cultures differ on what's important, what values are more and less important, this structure exists pretty much everywhere. This is based on lots and lots of research. One of the consequences of having this structure of a circle is that adjacent values are likely to have similar correlations, or things will have similar effects on adjacent values will have similar effects on other things. So they operate similarly. And the flip side of this is that if one value is related, positively related to another variable, then the opposite value is likely to be negatively related to that variable. And I think that this circular structure is what makes this value theory really, really useful in giving us insights as to understanding phenomena. And the phenomenon that I will talk about today is anecticality. So, and what I'll talk about is I'll show you how using the circle helps us understand nuances in anecticality. So when we talk about anecticality, we talk about, could be intentions, could be attitudes, could be actual behavior that violates agreed norms or violates social ethical norms. And it could be either active behaviors, like actually doing something about it, like lying and cheating and scheming, or it could be inactive behavior, just not doing something when you're supposed to do. So not acting when you know about an unethical act, so concealing others' misconduct, and so on. So how would we expect that values might motivate being unethical? Well, we thought that the values that mainly should motivate people to be unethical are self-enhancement values, because behaving in an unethical way, you do it mainly because you want to enhance yourself it could be even at the expense of others, even going against rules and regulations, but you, whatever it is, you do it because you want to enhance yourself. So we thought that the strongest positive links with unethicality should be with self-enhancement values. What about what values might hamper unethicality or block unethicality? Well, here we thought that it depends. If the and here's where the nuances come in. If the unethicality is about violating norm, mainly about violating norms and regulations, then we would expect that value and conservation would make us avoid being unethical. So it would block unethicality because conservation is all about following laws and regulations. If, however, the unethicality is about harming others, then it would be the self-incentive values that would tend to block this tendency. So there should be a negative correlation between valuing self-transcendence and being unethical. What about openness to change? Well, we thought that openness to change is kind of neutral with regard to unethicality, and it depends on the context. So people who value openness to change, they don't care that much about rules and regulations. So they wouldn't mind violating rules and regulations if they think that that's the right thing to do. They might be unethical. It just depends on the context. So the first thing that we did is a meta-analysis in which I'm not going to go over all the samples here, but I just want you to see that we had lots of samples, different kinds of samples from different places in the world, including some very large samples from the European Social Survey and the World Value Survey. And we had, in this meta-analysis, quite a few value measures, and then a wide range of unethicality measures. So in some of them, we had a measure that looked at behavior in business. So, for example, claiming credit for peers' work. In the ESS data set, so the ESS is a huge European social survey that uses representative samples in each one of the EU countries. So you get lots and lots of participants. So we found three items there that could be measures of unethicality. So making false insurance claims, buying stolen goods, and committing traffic offenses. In the World Value Survey, there were four items. For example, avoiding a fare in a public transport, cheating on taxes, and then there was the unethical decision-making scale. So all I want to show you here is that there is quite a wide variety of measurement of unethicality. So as empirical researcher, you would think, okay, there shouldn't be, we cannot expect strong effects here because it's all too varied. But what we did find is actually when we use the four broader categories of values, what's called the four higher order values, actually all those values had generalizable effect sizes, and they were in the direction of what we expected. So the strongest positive links were with self-enhancement values, and we had negative links both with conservation and with self-transcendence values. And openness to change, actually we didn't expect a correlation, but there was actually a positive correlation with openness to change values. But we think that, that this is not a big news, we think it's just a matter of the composition of items that were there, and when we tried to see whether we could separate, we couldn't really separate the items. Obviously, when you do a meta-analysis, you don't comprise the items, so you just use whatever is there. This will not be the case in the next study. But anyway, this is what we found. With regard to the 10 values, the strongest positive correlation was with power values, and the strongest negative relation was with conformity values. So in the second study, we actually comprised the study, and here we had more control over the measures and the nuances of unethicality. So we used Amazon Turk, and we gave 10 cents. Does anybody here not know what Amazon Turk is? Yeah. Okay. So Amazon Turk is it's considered an employer. Basically, people complete questionnaires online for money. They don't get a lot of money. They get a little bit of money, and but if you complete lots of questionnaires, then eventually it does become a source of income. And actually, in the U.S. and in India, it is for some people it is a substantial source of income. So we gave 10 cents. You see, it's not a lot. MTurk, at that time at least, mainly used people from the US and from India. And in past research, Indian workers were found to be more sensitive to monetary rewards. So it mattered more to them if they got paid and how much they got paid. They were more likely to use MTurk as their main source of income. And they're more likely to misreport their real location. So if you're asked where are you located, they might not always give the true answer. And so you'll see in a minute how we use that. So in this study, we had 135 participants from India. We used them we gave them a value scale, and then we gave them an opportunity to cheat. So we asked them, we said that we would pay 2 cents more to those people who participate from the US. And then we asked, where are you from? And the reason that we used such a small sum of money for cheating was that in previous research, it was found that people don't tend to cheat when there's a big sum of money. They tend to cheat on small sums, and when they feel deserving, when they can justify it ethically to themselves. Okay, so the unethical behavior is to lie in return for a bit more money. And so what did we predict? So we predicted that the strongest positive links will be with self-enhancement values, because again, it isn't basic for unethicality. These are selfish values. They motivate selfish behavior. And then here, because we actually created the situation, we could have more specific predictions. We thought that there would be a stronger effect for conservation values, so conservation values would tend to motivate not being unethical, compared to self-transcendence values, which would be less of a deterrent. And the reason is that cheating on Amazon Turk would be mainly violating rules of lying and being honest, but there isn't a particular harm. Nobody really gets harmed very directly. It's not clear who gets harmed. And we didn't think that this cheating context would offer any benefits to openness, to people who value openness to change. So we didn't think that people who value openness, we didn't think that this would be related. And we found what we expected. So as we expected, there is a positive link with self-enhancement, a negative link with conservation. And I just want to say, just to point that actually our method is quite weak here, because our dependent variable is a yes-no. It's a binary variable, and it's a one shot. So usually these measures tend to yield very, very low effects. And actually, I think that compared to that, a 0.20, okay, it was significant, but the main thing is a 0.20 actually is not that small, I think. And the others didn't have significant correlations as we expected. So this is this study with unethicality. What are the implications of arrogance? I think that there are some similarities between arrogance and unethicality. I think that arrogance is a selfish behavior that enhances oneself at the expense of others, because others might be hurt. So I would actually expect that being arrogant would be motivated by self-enhancement values. I think it would be blocked by self-transcendence values if it's clear that somebody is being harmed. So if the context of the arrogance is where there are actual people around me, so for example, when you took us to these labs, these are concrete people sitting with me, to be arrogant towards these concrete people is to harm them. So I think in these situations, self-transcendence might be negatively related to being arrogant. In a situation where you just write your opinion on a computer and there is no particular person, maybe it's less obvious that it's hurtful. I think that conservation is an interesting one. If it is in a context where it's clear that it's violating the rule to be arrogant, then there should be a negative correlation between valuing conservation and behaving in an arrogant way. Otherwise, it might even be positive, just in the sense that a behavior of being quite rigid in your views might be interpreted as being arrogant. Not quite sure about that. I think it sounds to me, from how you guys have talked about your project, that you were thinking in terms of open-mindedness, openness to change versus conservation. But then it's a matter of how you define arrogance exactly. If it's just being rigid, then yeah, maybe there's arrogance, but I think, yeah, it's not that clear. With regard to openness to change, so being open to new ideas and new thoughts means that possibly one might not be arrogant simply because a divergent idea seems interesting rather than negative. But I really think that this is the key, that self-enhancement here is the key, because it is the type of behavior in which you are pursuing your selfish interests, even at the expense of others.